Today on Real Radio.
Isn't that awesome? I think it's wonderful. We need to see each other like this. Man, when we're driving down the street, it's not a car, it's a tank. It's a very, very serious war that we're in, and the enemy's out for us. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and among believers, the verses we're looking at are a well-known section of the New Testament. Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Source of Power.
And so now he comes to this portion of the Christian warfare. And who is it against? So when he says, finally, it's in light of everything I've just said, Paul is telling us. After all I've spoken and taught, this now is the key. These are the ones who battle in this war. And it is the brethren, that is us. My brethren, the Christian. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Christian is to be strong. The Christian is to be powerful. Now watch this. Paul is not saying, everyone listen to this loudly, very clearly. Paul is not, and this is good news, are you ready? Paul is not saying, be strong. Oh, just tough up, will you? Be powerful. That's not what he's saying. You know what? That's the last thing you want to hear, isn't it? All right, you wimp, suck it up, you know? Well, you know what? There's not much to suck up. I'm about dead. God, I can't go another foot. I can't make it. You ever feel like that? I just can't go on. You know, I'd rather be dead. And Paul is not saying, oh, come on. Get tough. No, no, no. This is the good news. Paul is saying, be strong and be powerful in the Lord's might and in the Lord's strength. You know what this means? What's implied in the Greek is get inside his pocket, jump inside his cup. God is saying, hey, come on in. His palms, his hands go out like the form of a cup, and he says, come on, jump in. Oh God, I can't make it anymore. So he comes to the edge. Fall in. Over here, see this, look. He just says, fall in. Isn't that great? That's what I need to hear. Because I can't do it anymore. I can't do it on my own. He's not asking us to do it on our own. He's saying, come on, fall into my hands, into the arms of the everlasting Father. My strength will hold you up. He says, come on. We don't need to be strong on our own. That's not what he's calling us to do. I've told you before that if you're doing Christianity wrong, if it hurts, you're doing it wrong. It shouldn't be hurting. Oh, yeah, there's a war. But you know what? Listen, let's be honest. Right now, wouldn't it be great to just be able to pull a Spielberg on every one of us? And that's my whole thing. That's why I dressed up in this lunatic outfit, is because you and I should see each other the way we really, really look to God. And that is, we are a goofy-looking group of people because here's the thing. We've got combat clothes on. We got hand grenades. Remember, we talked about this before in Ephesians. Ephesians 5. We got hand grenades on our hips, and we got a veil on for our wedding. We've got a helmet on top of the veil, and we've got a backpack on, but we also have a beautiful white, beautiful gown, and we got army boots on, big army boots, and we got a bouquet in one arm and a bazooka in the other. We are some chick, I'll tell you. We are the bride of Christ. And that's how God looks at us tonight. We're like, come on, man. We'll turn one moment and say, drop your sword. And then the next, I love you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. And whoosh, off with the enemy's head. Isn't that awesome? I think it's wonderful. We need to see each other like this. Man, when we're driving down the street, it's not a car, it's a tank. It's a very, very serious war that we're in, and the enemy's out for us. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But the horrible thing is when he says, finally, my brethren, this is like a breath of fresh air to all of us and to those that were reading this at the time. He's calling us brethren. What a wonderful thing to have the colonel, Paul, say, finally, my brethren. It's like, wow, he's calling us brothers and sisters. There's something wonderful about that kind of protocol where you're included. My dad was a drill instructor in the Marine Corps in San Diego, and there's this thing where, you know, you've all seen them, right? Where they got that Smokey the Bear type looking hat, and, you know, they're born to yell. And they can't be nice, because if they're nice, then they're going to create a bunch of wimps, and they don't want wimps at war, so they got to call you all kinds of names and say things about your mom, and it's part of the deal. Why? Guys on the East Coast, they get shipped to the West Coast. Guys who sign up on the West Coast, they get shipped to the East Coast, right? Guys in the middle, they get like sent to Alaska. I mean, this is the way it's got to go. You got to cut them from mama. You got to wean them. And you got to tear them down and rebuild them. And this is the way it goes. And there's something at the end of your 6 weeks, there's something at the end when your sergeant says, job well done, men. Men. He called us men. Or if, now, if, he called us women. I mean, it can go either way, right? He's acknowledged us. Well, up until then, all the girls in the platoon he was calling guys, and all the guys he's been calling girls. It's just the way that it is. To get you to be dependent upon the necessary things, and not on any man. But at the end, they say, well job, well done, good work. You know, Gomer Pyle, great. And all of a sudden, there's this union. All right! One moment of acceptance is like, you know, and the guys, I've been down there at graduation time. It's hilarious. It's fantastic. These guys hated that guy. They hated him, wanted to kill him. I'm going to kill you if I get a chance to kill you. And on graduation day, what are they doing? They're crying. I remember you forever, Sarge. Paul the Apostle is saying, all right, finally, my brethren. And everyone goes, what? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yes. Why does he start the battle apparel and the battle thought with this? Because our strength is always from the position of the Lord. Always. If we go out there in our combat gear, having no orders, having no authority behind us, having no commission, then we will be mercenaries. We'll be on it for our own gain, and we will lose it. We're an army. And so Paul is calling us, finally, my brethren. By the way, you might want to jot this down. It's important to me. I think it's important to the Lord. Is that this is a real neat inoculation against apathy. Hey, if you and I are brethren in the Lord and we're going to war together, the last thing, are you ready for this? The last thing, if you live next door to me, the last thing I want to see is you goofing up and you letting your guard down and you sleeping in and you not being battle ready. And the same thing's true for me. You're going to look over, hey, you got your sword out there? I got it. You got yours? Yeah, I got it. Okay, I got it. Bam. It's important. You got all your bullets? Yeah, I got my bullets. All right. Hey, when you read the book of Nehemiah, which is a great, great thing about Christian service, warfare, and spiritual growth, Nehemiah, he is so smart. He says, okay, everybody grab a trowel. Yeah, yeah, let's grab a trowel. That's how we build a wall. And everybody grab a sword. Why? Because we're going to build a wall. Well, how do you build a wall with a sword? You kill your enemies who are trying to keep you from building the wall. And that's exactly the spiritual war that we're in. There's an enemy that's trying to keep you from growing. Remember all of you who raised your hands tonight? Those of you who raised your hands, you're saved, friends. He has lost you for all eternity. But he hasn't given up on you. You say, well, why not? Oh, because you're in a war. If you can't kill the one who's your enemy, what you do is you immobilize him. You cut off their communication. You separate them from the rest of the group. You get them confused. You scare them. You come up and you boo them. And you get them on the ropes and they begin to think, my gosh, and they lose all of their training. You lose all of your survival tactics that you've been trained. You don't drop your knees in prayer. You forget. You get emotionally overwhelmed. You can't think. And the enemy begins to work you over. He cannot take your salvation. If you think that that's possible, then you need to study your Bible again. He can't take it. But he wants to sterilize your witness and cause you to be zero effective so that you share Christ with no one, so that you never fight or pray against his kingdom of darkness again, that you sit in the corner with a bloody nose with all of the implements of war that our God has afforded for us, and you're a defeated soldier because what he did was he went right past your armor, went right into your head, and messed you up through communication. He scrambled your relationship with your commander, Jesus. And this is what Satan is out against every one of us tonight who raised our hands. He's out to sterilize us from being an effective witness. Those of you who don't know Christ yet personally, what's he doing? He's doing what he's doing. He loves to do this. And that is, he wants to keep you and your soul under his control. He wants to feed you the things that make you happy, the things that make you glad. He wants to keep you stuffed with sex coming out of your nose if necessary. He wants to keep drugs or alcohol or pride or arrogance in your life. He wants to keep you bound by the things that he has to offer. It's a very serious thing. The sad thing is, this thing about apathy, a lot of people don't even believe that there's a war going on. Wouldn't it be incredible if we can cut a hole in the middle of this floor right now, this sanctuary, and pull some people up from hell? Right now. You got 3 seconds to tell these people. Can you imagine the hideous moans and cries that you would hear? When I do a funeral and I'm not sure where that person's at. And you know, everyone says, I don't know why, I think it's from, you know, movies. But this guy was a mugger, he was a rapist, he was a thief, he was a drunk, he was a everything, and he's now dead. He got shot robbing a liquor store. And the family members stand there and say, well, at least now he's resting in peace. Who do you think they're saying that for? Absolutely, themselves. Absolutely themselves. What do you say when you're officiating a funeral for that? Pastor, why don't you tell the good people where Brother John's at? Well, Brother John's probably sucking flames now in the lake of fire. Well, you can't say that, even though you're thinking that. You just can't come out and say it. You can't say that, but what you can say is this, and I do. If John was here tonight or here today, if John could speak to us now, this is exactly what John would say. To follow Jesus with all your heart and love him with every bit of who you are. You know, that's true. If you're in heaven or if you're in hell, If you're allowed one statement to be broadcast on the earth, the dead would say, love Jesus with all of your heart. And with some people, there'd be a smile on their faces as they shined out of heaven. And for some people, there'd be a hideous death on their face, and they would say it with weeping tears, maybe black tears. Love Jesus with all your heart. Why? Because they didn't. They were duped by the enemy of their souls who kept them bound all their lives. And people perish. What's at stake? Billions of people. And yeah, it seems like a futile thing that only, what, 600 or 700 of us in this church over the course of the last 5 years have gone to some foreign country to speak the word. That's a lot of people in a church this size. But you know what? It's not even a bit of mist in the air compared to how many people need to tell. Tell the people who are in this church right now, people sitting next to us, people living next door to us, people in our city, in our state, people around the world. This is a serious thing. Who goes to this war? Who goes to this battle? We need to fight apathy, people. There was a declaration of war made in Genesis 3:15 a long time ago when God says, I will put warfare between you, that is Satan, he was speaking to, and the woman, that is Eve, and between your offspring, Satan, and hers. And he, Jesus, will crush your head, Satan, but you will strike at his heel. A prophetic utterance from God himself in the Garden of Eden that there's now a war. God says, Satan, I'm calling you and I'm giving you a declaration of war. And listen, this is how it's fought. That the offspring of Eve will war against your offspring. Remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel? There are those who believe and they're of Father Abraham. There are those who do not believe and they're of the father of whom? The devil. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. In Israel, in Jerusalem, there's the understanding that the Jews are the sons of light, and they talk about the Muslims being the sons of darkness. They talk about the spiritual war over their bagels in the morning. It's a serious thing. But is the Christian church aware of the fight? Sometimes I wonder. Listen, real quickly. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see who we are? We're soldiers. No one engaged in a war entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Think about that for a minute. Why? So that he might please the one who has enlisted him. Can you imagine being in a war? You're shooting up ahead, you keep looking back to see if your mom's standing on the hill. You're going to get shot doing that. You're going to get shot right in the back doing that. Whoever is enlisted in this war and engaged in this war, which is all of us who raised our hands a moment ago, we cannot get caught up in the things and the affairs of this life. Why? You're going to get shot. The enemy's going to sterilize us. He's going to get us off track. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 says, this charge I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies that were previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. Having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have become shipwrecked. Fight the good fight, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Fight the fight. In John chapter 17, verse 14, Jesus says, I have given them, remember he's praying to the Father, he says, I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of this world. You see the moment ago when all you raised your hands? Guess what? You don't belong here. You don't belong in this world. You're not of this world. Jesus says, they're not of this world. I do not pray, Lord or Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. That's who we are. And then here's one of my most favorite verses for warfare. Let's jot it down, everybody. In fact, you ought to write it on your neighbor. Make sure he gets it. 2 Corinthians 10:3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and its strongholds of the wicked one. Listen to this. Isn't it bizarre to think? Watch. We can have, as we mentioned earlier at the introduction of this time, we could have a nuclear device in the center of the sanctuary and detonate the thing. This is an awesome thing to consider. Do you know what would die? Just your body would die.
Well, what do you mean, just my body?
You see how we think?
My body's everything. I mean, look at it.
Your body would vaporize. Just your body would. But you, in an instant, would continue to live on in the spiritual world. Just like that. See how we think? We think, oh my gosh, if a bomb blew up, we'd die. Kind of. Our bodies would cease to exist. But the part that works your eyes behind you, the part, the person you are, that lives on. The way you think, you would enter eternity. Where according to John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, and Daniel chapter 12, all mankind will live eternally anyway. Read it. With God or without God, we live forever. One, an eternal life, and one, an eternal death. Or we should be more accurate, an eternal dying. It's terrible. God doesn't want you there. Satan would love to have you be there. He's booking reservations now. God wants you to be in non-smoking. Satan wants you in smoking. He doesn't want you to, you get in the car, God says, put your seatbelt on. Satan says, don't put it on. He wants you dead. Jesus says that Satan has come to kill. That's what he loves. How do we fight this spiritual war? He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Listen to this. How do we be strong? In him. How do we have might? His might. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the scriptures tell us that we can do all things through who? Christ, who strengthens us. Isn't that awesome? Do you need strength tonight? Call upon Jesus and ask him for strength. Do you need incredible divine assistance to get through whatever is coming against you in this world? Call upon God. We can be strong in him. So very strong in him. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Are you afraid tonight? Are you fearful? Are you anxious about something that's not from God?
You mean it's just that, you mean just that clear? You mean you're sure?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Are you anxious about something? It's not from God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Source of Power, part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 and verses 10 through 18 called The Christian in Complete Armor, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Remember, our task here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your Christian experience. So this is a reminder that if you were unable to make it to the recent Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, well, we're making available its materials. Visit us at realradioactive.org and learn how to get them. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.